lift your hands and give him the praise. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. Thank you for the privilege. We can't fear what the future holds because you hold the future in your hands. We worship, we honor, and we adore you. Thank you, Master. Blessed be your name. Let not one person live here the same way they have come. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Hallelujah. Greet somebody this morning and welcome them. Tell them you're welcome to the presence of the Lord. Welcome to the presence of the Lord. Welcome to the presence of the Lord. And please. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Anybody excited here this morning, say loud amen. Like you heard, we bring you greetings from Calabar, Efik land of Calabar, and then from Oka in Anambra State, and then from Maiduguri in Borno State. The order in which the crusade held appeared like an ascending order. According to scripture, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more. Maiduguri appears to be one of the most significant of those crusades for many reasons. Because of the level of terrorism and insurgency in that part of the world, open-air crusade was something very, very big. The last crusade they had in that part of the world, large major crusade, before I went with Daddy Gio, I think last year or two, happened about 17 years ago in the year of 2007, 2008. And that crusade, that was the last time the Ramat Square, which is their biggest square, very central and notable square, that is also close to the palace of the Shehu. That was the last time that square was used for anything crusade about 18 years ago, 17 years. So it's very significant. It's like a whole land coming alive. Give the Lord a praise, people. The joy on the faces of the people. We had University of Maiduguri in the morning. The whole place was flooded with people. They sat on the ground. You know, people that don't have plenty of what we have a very, very high sense of value. Very, very high sense of. In Maiduguri, by 1 a.m., people were in commanding the day, overflowing the church all the way to outside. And there is curfew, till 10. Since the insurgency days, 10 p.m. movement is ceased, vehicular movement, and so on. So we give the Lord a praise for his grace and his mercy that has kept on going. When we show the clips, I'm sure we have the clips. Do we have clips ready? All right. When we show a little of the clips, I'll make a few more comments on our experience. But to God be all the praise. Can we wave our hands and give the Lord the praise? Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Is anybody excited with what is going on? I hope the outsiders are no more excited than the church. We appear so quiet. All right. 2 John chapter 1 and in chapter 3 and in verse 2. I mean 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Our month of financial dominion, and I want to speak on covenant secrets of financial dominion. And our objective this morning is to understand covenant or scriptural secrets of financial dominion. Anytime you hear the word covenant, it is referring to mutual responsibility. That is, what man needs to do in order for God to do what he promises to do. It's referring to the sharing of responsibilities. It's covenant secrets of financial dominion. I want to start by way of introduction that our God is a God of wealth and abundance. Who owns the heaven and the earth? He's a God of wealth, a God of abundance. Psalm 24 and in verse 1 said, the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 8 said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, say the Lord, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. So we serve the God of wealth and abundance who owns the heavens and the earth. Secondly, our God is the God who empowers his people unto wealth and abundance. He empowers his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18, the Bible said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. He gives power to get wealth. Power. To get wealth. And thirdly, he empowered, he was and is the God, because he was and is the God who empowered the covenant fathers unto wealth and abundance. He empowers his people and he empowered the covenant fathers unto wealth and abundance. I will look at two examples here and then in the next service. First example is Abraham. Genesis 13 and in verse 2. The Bible said, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Was rich in cattle by the empowerment of God. And now you look at Jacob's testimony, how God empowered him. Genesis chapter 32 verse 10. This was from the mouth of Jacob. He said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff, one stick, I pass over this Jordan. And now I have become two bands. When I left my father's house 21 years ago, all that I had was one stick. Now I have become two troops. Troops of wealth. That shall be somebody's testimony this morning. If you are the one, say louder, amen. If you are the person, shout the loudest, amen. So we have seen all of that this morning. What are the covenant secrets? So, give example of Abraham. Please identify Abraham. Second, Jacob. In that third point. What are the covenant secrets? What do I do to experience the wealth of God? Number one,
Number one covenant secret is the God first living. The God first living. What the Bible and what God and His Word expect us to do in order for God to do what He promised to do, we must possess the God first living. That is making God the most important personality and priority of our lives. We must make God the most important personality and priority of our lives. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. The Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. In Genesis chapter 19 verse 27, we saw how Abraham sought God first. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Our priority will affect our prosperity. Our priorities affect our prosperity. Our addiction to God affects our addition of things. 2 Chronicles chapter 27 verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Jotham became mighty. What is your priority? What do you do first when you wake up? What do you do when money hits your hand? What do you do the last thing at night? It determines your prosperity. God watches your heart before He puts things in your hands. He watches the heart. We went for crusade from Calabar to Oka and to Maiduguri. There was not one trace of stepping out for sightseeing. We go to London. We go to America. Okay, let me go for leisure. Let me take a walk in the park. It's not a part of the equation at all. If there is a need for that, it might come at another time, not for this one. The reason why there are so many people today in church that are not seeing what God wants them to see is because God is not first in their decisions. In your job decision, what is the first consideration? Is it the amount of money you will be paid? Or is it whether that work aligns with your spirit, with your convictions? Whether that work allows you time with God? Very, very important. This God first living. I know of a billionaire who will not do anything in the week. Once Monday comes, he must spend 3 hours in the morning, 7 to 10 a.m. preparing his ways before the Lord, praying, fasting, setting out the day before stepping out in the week. 3 hours. Doesn't matter who you are. You can't call him and reach him at that time. He's out on evangelism by the weekend. Personally, one-on-one. You see, what we do first, what we place first, determines what God will do with us. So it's the God first living, number one. Number two is the practice of the covenant. The covenant of supernatural supplies. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to verse 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That is the covenant. If there must be a harvest time, there will be a seed time. It's unbroken. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. Scripture speaking said, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. All. Personal tithe, organizational tithe, all the tithe of the land. Zechariah chapter 8 and in verse 12. The Bible said, the seed, for the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of these people to possess all things. So if there is a seed, there will be the fruit. The ground will yield its increase in response to the giving of the people. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 15. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. You see, Paul the Apostle makes it clear that there is a giving and a receiving. Concerning giving and receiving. But he only. I can read all the way to verse 19. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And because you have done that, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is scriptural. In the course of my assignment and my ministration, Paul is speaking. You have given and made me go to preach. You have given and done this and that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Let every devil be a liar and let God be true. The covenant of supernatural supply, the covenant of giving and receiving. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8, regarding the tithe, the Bible said, and here men that die receive tithe, but there you receive them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the Lord must amen. Shout a believer's amen. When we are talking of givings, everything from free will offering, giving towards evangelism, giving towards kingdom projects, giving towards the less privileged, the giving of tithes, which is a fixed percentage, giving to touch priests or prophet over your life as led by the Lord. These are practices of covenant that are well proven. But let me say three things very quickly by way of note, or rather that we need to pay attention to. Number one, or A, the giving of offerings and tithes is a product of relationship and revelation. Relationship. Giving is done by relationship, by revelation. My givings towards my wife and family and children is a proof of quality of relationship. Quality. 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 3, the Bible said, and Solomon loved the Lord. He walked in the statutes of his father. And then in verse 4, Solomon went and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. He started from where? He loved the Lord. When you don't love the Lord, you don't have a quality relationship with God. And everything is just mechanical. They say we should give, they say we should tithe. It's better to keep it. Abraham gave. Nobody preached tithe to Abraham. Out of his relationship with God, he saw it. Second thing to note, that the giving of tithes and offerings are not compulsory. Second Chronicles chapter 9 verse 7. Because that is what the devil and their agents use to hit their head. Second Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. You say every man according as he purpose set in his heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly or by compulsion. For God loved a cheerful giver. Calm your mind down. The wretched money is not needed by God. Calm down. Don't let nothing tense you up. Money, 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 give, give, give. See, a whole crusade, three in one. You didn't take a single offering. Multitudes. You didn't take one dime. Some money mongers will start calculating in their head. All these people, see plenty of people. If everyone be given 1,000, your governor was surprised. And I'm blessed. There are even more surprises that we cannot talk about. There are more surprises everywhere that we cannot talk about. We have been to places where we have been asked, how can they assist crusade or be of him? So I said, no, there's nothing. One sissy can't enter here. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Not of necessity of any giving or any form of giving you gave under pressure by necessity and you are angry or you feel like you were pressed to do it, you wasted that money. Total waste. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You set equipment, you put sound, put buses on the road to bring people. You didn't collect one dime as an offering. We did medical outreaches, procedures on the feet, procedures in the eyes, free food and free everything. I like to say the tough thing, that God and his work can never be stranded without man's giving. I am saying it authoritatively as somebody who is on the field, that God and his work can never be stranded without man's giving. God can do without man. It is man that can do without God. That's the third point. Because the Bible said in Psalm 24 verse 1, it said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God owns everything on the earth, why must he have to depend on man to do what he needs to do? Finally, let me add this. Every giving to God is a matter of privilege and opportunity, not a matter of necessity. It's a matter of privilege and of necessity. David said, who are we? Who am I that we should be able to give to you like this? That would be from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, from verse 12 to verse 14. Who am I? Who are we? But who am I, verse 14? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. We are not giving you what you don't own. You are the owner of what we are giving back to you. You are the owner of what we are giving. How can we be giving you what is yours and be bragging that we gave anything? Hallelujah. So this is very, very important to know. That I have seen in scripture. I have seen in our own lives.
And in this commission, how the practice of the covenant works with accuracy. This ministry as a ministry tithes. This pastor tithes and gives. Far beyond tithing. Far, far beyond tithing. And I see today, somebody's change of story is happening in Jesus' precious name. And so we have number one, the God trust living. Number two, the practice of the covenant. Number three, the life of diligence. It is a covenant secret. God blesses the diligent laborer. He blesses people who are doing something with their lives. Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 8. He said, the Lord shall command a blessing upon thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He will bless you in your store. He will bless everything you put your hands on. The Lord is looking for what to bless in your hands. In Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 5a. He said, by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. Traffic, I looked it up, and it means enterprise, entrepreneurial spirit. By thy enterprise, by your aggressive mindset to conquering resources, by your refusal to stay idle. By your refusal to stay idle, you have multiplied your riches. Somebody say amen. I grew up in a town many, many years ago where we have luxury bus owners, that luxury and lorry owners, my father was among, that ran across the country. And one of the sons of one of those men, that man was so rich, he saved money in First Bank until the First Bank gave him brand new J5 to appreciate his patronage. Then brand new. For how much money he was saving in the bank. But this, the son of this young man, of that man today, was stranded financially. So I said, what's happening? What do you want to do? He said, he wants to do business. I said, okay. What sort of business you want to do? He said, he wants to do the kind of business his father did. I said, okay, what kind of business did he do? He said, it was a lot of buying and selling. I said, what particular thing did he buy and sell? He said, many, many things. He said, in their time, there's a vernacular he used. In their time, anything that was beneficial, that was profitable, anything they will buy, trade, sell, and it brought increase, they did it. I say, you are now talking. You are talking because you are finding out the secret of your father to employ yourself. They were so enterprising. It was yam, it was everything. It was literally whatever was profitable. There are young men sitting, you see, the laziness of our generation is the reason for the crookedness. Everybody wants to make money in a hurry without the labor and the work needed. So they go online and begin to search how to do Yahoo and how to dupe people and fraudulently give this and do that. No, sir. In the kingdom, in this kingdom, if God is going to empower you, you are going to be aggressively diligent. You are going to walk until you walk poverty out of your life. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. The bread answers for to those who walk. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. Look at what the Bible said. It said night. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Did I get it right? Or 12? All right. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any will not walk, neither should he eat. It's all right. Can't stop there. If anybody will not walk, he should not eat. That is, food answers to workers. Supply answers to work. People are trying to eat without working. Do you understand? This is scripture. They are trying to eat without working. Young men hanging in their father's house at old age. Because by the time you have crossed 18. It's not as if you should not be trained in school. But your mind should start working. Your mind should start working. Laziness is the way to poverty. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 6 to 11. Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. It said, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. He has no guide, no overseer, no ruler, but provide her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. That is, ant, how busy they walk. How long will you sleep, oh sluggard? When will you wake up from your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your arm and your want like an arm robber. Just need arrive in a hurry. Arrive in a hurry. Arrives under pressure. And you must answer to that need right now. Is God speaking to anybody here? Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 9. See what he said. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. A waster is a poor man. A slothful person is a poor man. The same train brought them. The same train they entered. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and say in the name of Jesus, I reject laziness. I reject every trace of indolence in the name of Jesus. I receive the grace for work. Again, I receive the grace for work. I receive the grace for work. Say aloud, amen. Look at this translation. Lazy people may kuna learn lesson from the way ant they live their life. They no get leader, governor, or who they rule them. But then they store their food for dry season. They wait for when rain season go start. But now how long lazy man go take the lie down for in bed? When he go ever get up? He go say, make I just sleep. Fold my hand and rest more. But as he dey sleep, everything where he get go vanish. Like say, na thief carry them go. Hallelujah. No thief will carry your thing go in Jesus' name. Amen. The life of diligence is very, very important. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He said that Proverbs 10, he that he becometh poor is a process. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent make it true. He becometh poor. He becometh poor. He becometh poor.
To be slack is to end with lack. No two ways. He becometh poor that deals with his slack hand. And let me tell you, it is not too late to start again. It doesn't matter what you have lost in life. It's not too late to start again. Don't cry over milk that poured on the ground. You can't gather it back. Just start another process. Am I communicating? Was it not Kentucky Fried Chicken and Colonel Anthony Sanders? That was, he had a business and then they did a road construction that constructed the traffic away from his business. He was almost rendered penniless on the spot. And he went and started afresh. How many recipes he prepared? 1,000? I can't remember right now. Keep on trying and trying and trying, and then boom. Everything exploded. And KFC is everywhere around the world now. For a man that was rendered penniless at age 60. Yes. That started afresh. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So you don't die with a door that has closed. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? When the raven stopped bringing food for Elijah, he was wondering what to do with his life after that. The Lord said, "For this door has closed. Move now, go to the widow of Zarephath. The next thing that I will do with your life is there. Don't die here. A channel can dry, but if the source has not dried, resources is certain." Who is the source? God. What is the channel? The job place. A channel can dry up. What must not dry is the source. Your source is God. And if your source is there, your resources are confirmed. Somebody say aloud, amen. I pray for someone here today. God will open your eyes, open your mind, open your understanding for what next to do with your life. He will open your eyes, open your ears, open your understanding, and empower you onto explosive financial releases in the name of Jesus. You're saying amen, say louder amen. That was the life of diligence. Hit the road running. Don't lie down at home because you said you don't have a job. Hit the road running. When people going to work are going, dress up and wake up. Hit the road. Just hit the road. Where are you going? I'm going for my work. If you can't find a job, create a job. And it's more important to think of job creation than job location. It's far more important. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that maybe as we proceed further. Number four. Covenant secret is the life of joy and praise. It looks so little and so tiny, but it's very, very serious scripturally. I think that there is a connection between excitement and consignment. The life of joy, the life of praise, fertilizes supernatural abundance, supernatural supply. Psalm 67 verse 3 all the way to verse 7. He said, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise you. Then shall the earth yield her increase. The earth yield her increase. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. The Bible says they were praising God and having favor. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were praising God and having favor. They were praising God and having favor. Praise brings favor, and favor brings abundance. How do I know? Psalm 44 and in verse 3. He said they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. They got lands, they got possessions because you have favor for them. Your praise brings favor, and favor brings abundance. Praise puts the earth under pressure, the pressure to release what is yours. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Praise and joy. Now, so the first thing we have said, we saw that praise and joy put the earth under pressure, the pressure to release what is yours. We also saw that praise and joy brings favor, and favor brings addition. And thirdly, praise brings multiplication. Everything multiplies around the excited. Everything multiplies. That is why we see multiplication in our own life everywhere. All the cities we went, when we arrived, joy explodes. Praise explodes. People dancing and jumping in the midnight. John chapter 6, verse 9, all the way to verse 12. Hear what the Bible said. There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise for the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And they gathered 12 baskets. As he gave thanks and gave appreciation, there was multiplication. Beloved, while you seek God first with your life, while you obey the covenant practice of giving, while you deploy your energy to refuse to be idle by poverty, you must make up your mind that all of this is fertilized with joy, irrigated with praise. Be an exciting, excitable person. There is a way it attracts things into your life. Just take a look at somebody who is always frowning or who is always irritable. You don't know how, what to do to make them happy. They always get angry, get agitated, and frown. If people leave you alone, they leave you to yourself. Am I communicating? They just leave you. And the way, and people are the greatest asset of life. In our language, they say the person who has people is bigger than the person who has money. Only money. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can take a cue from there. The same way that people run from a person that is tensed up and beaten, agitated and looking frustrated, in the same manner, good things run from them. Good things run from them. Resources, everything run from them. Nothing can be at home with a person that does not make you feel at home. Am I communicating at all? This is very, very important. Some people think that things are not working. So because things are not working, they are frowning. Not knowing that frowning is freezing the things the more. Not knowing that the tension is giving them frustration the more. I see someone there that looks like she has found a bed. Take your seat. Take your seat. Is she okay? Because the sleep appears so. No, this one that is not strong is even awake. That other one almost. Not all the time we should blame the devil.
You know, I heard that the devil was. They say, devil, who make you cry? He says, all these people. Everything happening, they say, devil, devil, devil. Even things that he's innocent about. They say, it's devil. He says, devil. See, the bad name is too much for him. He was crying because his bad name was too much. See him. He said, let the devil repent. He cannot repent. You know, he cannot repent. Because he sinned without being tempted. He was the originator of sin. Inventor. He can't repent. Neither is he interested in repenting. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I reject the spirit of depression. I reject the spirit of depression. I reject the spirit of heaviness. I reject the climate of sorrow. In the name of Jesus, I am excited. My life is exciting. And my life is excitable. Shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise, hallelujah. A bigger, bigger clap and a lot of shout of praise, hallelujah. When the devil wants to dry up your things, he steals your joy. Take your seat. Don't let him steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your praise. Finally, give the Lord a bigger clap and a lot of shout of victory. Finally, covenant key number 5 is the mindset of abundance. The mindset. Generally, it is confirmed that mindset affects outcome in life. Mindset. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't think lack. You can't dwell on lack mentally and experience abundance physically. It's not possible. In Numbers chapter 13 verse 33, we saw the children of Israel with what we call the grasshopper mentality. He said, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Grasshoppers. So they remained on the grass until all of them died in the wilderness. You cannot have the mentality of a grasshopper and end with the destiny of an eagle. Everything in life, reality is a product of mentality. I don't think failure, never thought failure. I don't think lack, never thought lack. When our office people say, so and so gadget is not working or needs to be replaced. I was talking to one of them the other day. So and so gadget is not working and needs to be replaced. I said, so why has it not been replaced? Is the price $1 billion? They say, no, it's like 1 million or 5 million. I say, buy 5 at once. Buy 10. Use 1, keep the rest until it needs replacement again. I said it with anger. When we went to Calabar, and we are going to from Calabar to Oka. Some of our people, some ushers, some protocol, and some people who paid their way to come are going to drive by road 7 hours minimum or 11 hours. I made an arrangement for a plane to come and carry them. Instead of such stress on the road for 7 hours, that plane that was arranged failed for one reason or the other. So the one that was on ground went and returned back. Like Tazi. Go and come back and turn back. Carry the people. don't have a limitation mentality. Have a mentality of anything is possible. Who owns the earth, by the way? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein.
Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen.
One of them said, in his family, both himself, his family, and his extended family, nobody has ever traveled like that before. That was his first time, the whole of his lineage. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It is very, very important. Most of us grew with certain mentalities that limited our lives. You say you need money. Say, do they pluck money from trees? Say, I need to do this. All manner of wicked proverbs. Are you following what I'm saying? That put a limitation in your mind. I told my children, I said, anything you need, that is genuinely need, and you know I have, don't beg for it. Don't quiver to ask. Don't shake to ask. Do we have to quiver before our Father in heaven? Just feel normal. And children became so wise that this is for this. Yes, sir. I have changed from it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Raise your children with the mentality of anything is possible. Readjust your own mentality. The mentality of scarcity and shortage. Let's bring our minds to the point. The Bible says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. So we have to readjust our mindset. If I need it and God has it, then I have it. Somebody say after me, say, if I need it. Louder, if I need it and God has it, then I have it. Say it louder, if I need it and God has it, then I have it. Finally, let me tell you, what you see determines what God gives. What you think, what you believe for, determines what God can release. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. How many of you know that there are two ways to think, and I ran off here because our time is gone. Two ways to think. I gave you a half glass of water. Half glass of water. Exactly half. And I gave it to two different people. I said, tell me about this glass. A poverty-minded person says the glass is half empty. An abundance-minded person, possibility-minded, who is thinking in terms of fullness, says the glass is half full. For this one, it is the fullness that is his focus. For the other one, it's the emptiness that is his challenge. So the one who says the glass is half full is going to look for how to fill it up. The one who says the glass is half empty is thinking of what to do with the emptiness. And he will empty it. It's the difference between the prodigal son and his elder brother. The prodigal son had the mentality, Father, give me the portion of good that belonged to me. He knew he had an inheritance. The elder brother didn't have. The elder brother said, all this while I have served you, my father, you have not even given me baby goat. The father said, what? You don't know that all that I have is yours. So all these years you have been with me, you don't even have sense. Now, so your mumu rich? Hallelujah. The elder brother had integrity, but no mentality. So there is no prosperity. The junior brother had mentality, but no integrity. So he ended with calamity. The two must be balanced. Stand up on your feet. The two must be balanced. Are you understand what I'm saying? Walk like a king. You are the son of a king. Think in terms of royalty. Don't think beggarly. Don't think borrowing. Stop looking for where to beg and borrow from. You are too big to beg. Too big to borrow. Your destiny is the destiny of a giver, a lender. I've seen people try to give offering and squeeze it. Dollar, pound. I say, take. I say, me? Do I look like a beggar to you? Carry raw offering, raw money. I say, take. I say, do you know who you are dealing with at all? Some say, bring. Nah. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Somebody came to my office from America the other day. Said, I have offering to give you. He brought dollars, raw dollar in my hand. Me, to take. How? He's beggar, you give money like that. Package it in dignity. Let it be respectful. And let it be delivered honorably. Many of them are shocked. And I say, is it me? You want to give something? God bless you. But go with your offering. I don't collect money like this. If you don't reject money, money can't fear you. Say, change your mentality. All the things you have, that's why we move the way we are, looking up only absolutely squarely unto God. Respect everybody. Please possess that God first mentality. Be a covenant practitioner. All the things I spoke about giving, don't forget them. God is not by force. God can do without what you have. It's a matter of privilege, not a matter of you want to favor God or favor the kingdom. It's not a contribution mentality. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And then, of course, be a diligent worker. Be a hard worker. And then, life of praise. And of course, finally, the mindset of abundance. Lift your hands everywhere and say after me, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I receive the grace to live out this word. I receive the grace to apply myself to these proven covenant secrets of financial dominion for drastic results. I receive that grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and your voice and speak to God. Open your mouth and pray. I receive the grace. I receive the help. I receive the mercy. Father, we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, let's start again. Lift your voice and say, Father, I receive the grace. I receive the grace to lead according to your word. The secrets of dominion in the financial realm, as I have just heard. I receive that grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, lift your voice and speak. Yes. In Jesus' precious name, Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name.